So yeah, like Mike says, he didn't give me anything to speak on. I asked Mike, what would you like me to speak on? He said, to speak on whatever you like. Which was amazing. So I bet that's God what he wants to say then instead. Now that's Mike. God said he wants me to speak on new wine and new wineskins. And it's just while I was washing the dishes, and a song came on, and I'll probably regret saying this, it's a great time for me to connect with God when I do the dishes. So they'll be saying, go and connect with God and get those dishes done. But yeah, when I do the dishes and put the music on, and I'd asked God, what does he want me to speak on over the weeks? And a song came on about new wine, which we'll hopefully play at the end. And I asked myself, I don't even know what that parable means. I know that parable, I could probably quote a lot of it, that little story. But if a non-Christian asked me, or a Christian asked me, what does that mean? I don't really know. So I came in to Sarah and I read it out to her. And we discussed it and we decided between us, we didn't really know. We had a little guess at this and that. So anyway, so God led me to study it, obviously, and he said, I want you to share that on the Sunday. And it is typical, like, usually at this time of year, the preacher starts talking about New Year's resolutions, and it's a new year and whatnot, and new wineskin sort of fits with that. But God gave me this a while ago, but it's no coincidence that he wants me to share it today. It does fit in, obviously, because God does those things. So I'm going to read it out to us first. If you've got a Bible, that'd be good. It'd be good if you could get a Bible, an actual Bible. I've written a Bible. I was thinking about this, you know, there's something profoundly different about holding the actual Bible in your hand and the pages in your hand and just on a phone. You know, it's good to have it on your phone. If you've only got your phone, that's fine. But if you can get your, if nothing else from this sermon, you get nothing else, try just picking your Bible up and read the actual written Bible. It's just good to have the pages open in front of you. Anyway, if we're going to go to Matthew, it's in three of the Gospels, and it's all pretty much the same in each one. It's Matthew 9. And it's verse 14, and Jesus is being questioned about fasting, and this is the response he gives in Matthew 9, verse 14-17. Then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, but the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So like most of the Bible, when you read it at first, you miss a lot of it. You know, you might get a lot from it, but when you read it and reread it and read it again, and then actually go to study it, then there's so much. And Jesus' answers are amazing, aren't they? When it wasn't just an off-the-cuff answer, there's so much. So much in that scripture. So I asked myself, what does it mean? And what does it mean for us in 2021? That verse, how does that relate to us? How is it relevant to us? Is it relevant to us? And, you know, when you read parables, I think you have to be careful we don't read into parables and see stuff that isn't actually there and make it say what we want it to say. And so hopefully I won't do that. And we ask, why did Jesus speak this way? You know, early on in his ministry, he spoke very clearly, like you look at the Sermon on the Mount. But then as he got challenged by the Pharisees and the leaders, he spoke more and more in parables. And, you know, even to the point Jesus says, I won't always speak to you like this. But soon I'll speak to you quite clearly and you'll understand everything that I say. Some of the stuff that he said there, he wanted to veil. You know, we didn't want them to hear everything that he had to say. It was for later on, for us now. And some of it he wanted them to hear, and some of it he really wanted those, because those who wanted to hear would have heard what he had to say, and those who had hard hearts would have completely completely missed it. And he speaks to different audiences, Jewish leaders, Gentiles, disciples. But here, Jesus is challenged by, I put the Jewish leaders, but it's not John's disciples. Why does his disciples not fast when they do and when the Pharisees fast? They would have fasted probably a couple of times a week. Like John's disciples would have fasted, but Jesus' disciples didn't strictly follow that sort of tradition. So they were wondering why. And one thing I've found when people ask me questions is, in fact, Rabbi Zacharias used to say, behind every question is a questioner. And Jesus knew exactly the hearts and why they were asking these questions. And Jesus gives three responses. He talks about the bridegroom being with them and then leaving them. He talks about inappropriately cutting a new piece of cloth to patch up an old garment. And then he talks about new wine being poured out into old wineskins and then new wine into new wineskins in the comparison. And it's really the later that I want to focus on, the new wine and new wineskins. But when you first read it, you wonder how the three are connected. I asked Mark and Steve what they thought of that. And we really couldn't see how the three of them sort of fitted. But when you study, you can see that it's actually perfect how Jesus sort of talks about the past, the present, and actually the future. See, the Jews, when he talks about fasting, the initial response to the bride and the bridegroom, the Jews fasted really out of like a religious duty. It was like a tradition and cultural, and also to make themselves feel good, to make themselves look good, to make themselves feel righteous. You know, it was their culture and that they should have fasted. And Jesus doesn't actually condemn their actual fasting practice, but he challenges their hearts in it and what the meaning of fasting is. Jesus reminds them of the purpose of fasting. And he talks, basically, like, now Jesus is talking about himself. He probably would have missed that. But while I'm here with you, it's a time of celebration. It's a time of joy. It's a time of being with me. If God was walking right with me in physical, like Jesus was with me, it would be a time of just enjoying his presence. But he's saying when he leaves, that's when it'll be difficult. That's when there'll be hardship. There'll be pressure. There'll be distress. There'll be persecution. And he promises that. And he says, then they will fast. So that's when it's a time of fasting. And it's a challenge that, I'm not going to speak about this too much, but just to pull out from that bit of the scripture is that it's a challenge of fasting and how do we fast. And it doesn't say if you fast in the Bible, does it? As we know, it says when you fast. So it's really a question of how do we fast and are we fasting? And if we're not fasting, then why not? Because Jesus was reminding me of the purpose of fasting. Why should we fast? And why do we fast? It's worth asking that question to decide whether you want to fast or not. And like I say, the Bible says, when we fast. So this is my answer. So when we fast, it's not just about, it says like the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective, doesn't it? It doesn't mean, if I pray for something, the odds are like 1 in 10 this prayer is going to get answered. But if I fast, I'm going to reduce those odds to about 3 to 1. You know, if I really, really fast, I might even half those odds even more. So if I do a good fast and really like starve myself, then these prayers are probably more likely to going to be answered. It's not, so it's like, oh, this is a serious prayer request. We should fast for this one. It's like, it's going to increase the odds of it being answered. It's not about that, is it? But fasting helps us to separate being governed by the body and living in the spirit. So we're not, Paul talks about beating his body until it's obedient to him, doesn't he? You know, I'm not going to be ruled by my stomach, by my body. I'm actually going to be ruled by the spirit. I'm walking in the spirit. And fasting is about, I'm going to deprive my body. I'm going to be disciplined in my walk, and I'm going to actually walk in a spiritual, because when you're hungry, you don't forget about it, do you? But you say, no, I'm going to put that pleasure, that off, and actually I'm going to connect with God. And it does something spiritually. It does it spiritually. It brings us it breaks something, and so we can connect God in a deeper and a closer way when we fast. I mean, have you ever been caught up in the spirit? Like when you've been spending time in worship, like when I'm doing the dishes. Now, when you spend time in worship or you've been in prayer and you've forgotten your surroundings, you've forgotten, you know, time, you've forgotten your problems, you're caught up with the presence of God, and you're caught up in that spirit, yeah, and it's like you've forgotten, and it's more like the spiritual realm that you're caught up in is more tangible and more real than the physical world, you know. And I think fasting helps us bring us into that spiritual realm. And so, you know, definitely Jesus is talking about when times are hard, when times are pressing, that's when fast then. That's when you really need to fast. And I don't know if anyone feels like times are hard, times are pressing, times are stressful. If there ever was a time to fast and want to connect with God, it's now. And I speak to myself, you know, it's like, how much fasting am I doing? But this is what God was saying to me. It's about walking in the spirit. So God's challenging the heart. Fasting isn't about doing it to feel good, to look good, like the Pharisees might have done and John's disciples might have done because they were told to. It's about connecting with me and putting me before anything else and putting your flesh to one side and walking in the spirit. But then he goes on to talk about the metaphors of the cloth, the new cloth being sewn onto the old garment, and the old wine being poured into the new wine being poured into the old wineskins. And he's talking about, and it's basically this is like the new doesn't fit the old, and the old doesn't fit the new. The two aren't compatible. And what he's talking about, what represents the new and the old when you read it, is the old is Judaism, if you like, the old ways of doing things, and the new is Christianity, if you like, the new way of doing things. And Jesus is referring to those, to both of those. And he's not sort of ridiculing Jewish customs and Jewish ways. He's not saying, doesn't actually say throw the old wine out. It's the old wine is good. And those practices and those ways of doing things were good. And, you know, I don't know anyone who likes red wine, but, you know, an old seasoned red, mature red wine is amazing. You know, I never actually used to like red wine until I met Sarah. She converted me into a wino. But I do like a red wine now, and I don't like a cheap bottle. I like getting a decent bottle. You know, really enjoying the red wine. But as you're saying, the old way, the old practices, that old wine's okay. That's good, you know, for the Jews. But there's something coming. There's a new wine. And it's a new wineskin, and you can't bring the old, you can't bring the Judaism into Christianity, and the new Christians don't need to try and practice the old ways of Judaism. You know, you don't need to mix the two. You've got the old wine, and you've got the new wine, and the new wineskins. And to receive the new wine, you need to be saying to the Jews, but he's saying to the Gentiles, he's saying to us that we need to be new wineskins to receive the new wine. Actually talks, you know, so talking about the law, if you like, you know, it was written on tablets of stone, it was written on scrolls, but now the law is written on our hearts and it's written on our minds. And the temple isn't just a place where God's presence dwells, you know, we are God's temple, and the temple, you know, and God's presence dwells in us. And atonement, you know, we don't need to sacrifice anymore. The lamb, the blood of the lamb was spilt, and that's their sacrifice for. We're covered in that blood, and we have atoned for our sin. And both were preserved, you know, for the Jews, those that you're a Jew, but you're stepping into Christianity, and for those who for the first time need to be a new skin and receive that new wine. And that kind of what it means, and how it flows through. So basically, to receive the new wine requires a new wineskin. So what does that mean for us today? If I can hopefully explain that passage half decent, it makes a little bit more sense. It makes more sense to me than it did before. So what does new wine and new wineskins mean for us today? A good example, though, and now I think I understand better what the Christian holiday camp New Wine is, why it's called New Wine. So when you go to New Wine, you often go because you want to, you know, you want to receive, don't you? You want to be filled up, you want to spend time with God. And if you go with the attitude of new wine, God's got new things for you, new things he wants to say to you, new plans, newness he wants to give you, and you go as a vessel to be filled up, yeah, to be a new wineskin, to be filled up. And that's kind of what God wants to say to us this morning, that he's got a new wine for us and a new wine. We need to be a new wineskin. And like Nadia's word was absolutely encouraging for me in terms of God saying declutter is a massive thing. To receive, we need to get rid of the old wineskins, get rid of the old things, to receive something new from God. Because while our lives are cluttered with so much other stuff, we haven't got room for the new. So we need to declutter to make room for God. And that's super encouraging to remember that at the end, just declutter. So I don't want to be an old wineskin. I want to be a new wineskin. I don't want to be set in my ways. So if new wine presents itself, a new wine is coming, I can't hold on to it. Mm-hmm. Talks about if you're trying to put new in the old, that the old wineskins will burst, and it'll be spilt, it'll be ruined. But I want to be malleable, is the word I put, malleable, so we can be shaped, we can be molded, and we can contain that wine, and as it matures, as it ferments, that's the wine that God wants to pour out. And pour out to the world, that he wants to pour into us, essentially for us to be able to pour out into others, to be able to adapt and move with it. You know, God gave me this word weeks ago now, but it was perfect timing to give it us now, right in the beginning of the new year. As many of us make New Year's resolutions, or I don't know if you've made any New Year's resolutions, we've made a few in our house, and it's going good. And I used to love this time of New Year and New Year's resolutions. As a personal trainer, I really miss that element of my job, working with people, helping people achieve the goals. But it was always interesting, not just in New Year, but when anyone came in with New Year's resolutions, excuse me, and why those New Year's resolutions, it was good over the years, that I got pretty good at judging people of when their New Year's resolutions were going to work and when they probably weren't going to work. And obviously there's different intrinsic and extrinsic motivators that keep us going, keep us on track with those goals, I'm not going to go into. But I used to listen to them speak, and I'd like, tell me about your goals, what you want to achieve and what you want to achieve and blah, blah, blah. And when someone used language like they had decided that was what they were going to do, it was different than language when someone said, I'm going to try not to. But I'm going to try and do such and such. I'm really hoping I could lose 2 stone. I'd love to do such and such. I really want to, you know, whatever it might be. But there was the others who would come in and go, I am going to, boom, boom, boom. I have decided, and I just need you to tell me what to do, and I will do it. You know, and it's like they've already decided in their head what they want, what they're going to do, and how they're going to achieve it. And I used to say some of my favourite clients to train would be a bride-to-be. Bride-to-be was a brilliant person to train because they had decided that on their wedding day, they were going to look their best. They were going to look amazing. And all they needed for me to do was tell them what to do, and they would do it 100%. They would absolutely nail themselves because they were going to look their best on that day. Or even a survivor, like of a heart attack or something like that, they had already decided, they didn't need any convincing why they needed this exercise, why they needed a healthy regime in their lives. They are fully aware why they needed this healthy regime in their lives, and they decided they were joining the gym, they were turning their life around, they were changing. My job was easy after that, you know, I didn't have to really motivate those sorts of people. They weren't emotional responses because they felt particularly bad that day. They weren't making resolutions because they woke up and they were having a rubbish day. It is a change in their mindset. Something had changed. As a PT, always make that change in someone's mind. Sometimes you could see it happen. They come from a trier to a decider, if you like. But there's something, you know, they just decided. And so I ask you, when you think about it in that context, have you made any New Year's resolutions for 2021? It might be slightly different mindset that you've approached it. But I believe God wants to give us, some of us, all of us, some new, I put some there, but I think all of us, new wine this year and new mindsets. But to receive the new that God's given us, we have to decide to remove ourselves from some of the old, whether that's clutter, some of the old mindsets, some of the old. What do we want to leave behind in 2020 and the past and not bring into 2021? Have we really thought about that? And, you know, last year was a crazy year, wasn't it? And the enemy is always at work. He was super, super at work last year and still is. You know, he prowls around like that lion, like puffing up his chest. He's like a lion. He's not a lion. He likes to think he is and pretend he is. But he's definitely been at work. And, you know, using this pandemic to cause all sorts of fear, obviously isolation, you know, attack people's mental health, create doubts in people, separation. That's always been the enemy's tactic, isn't it? To kill, steal, and destroy. And he's just used this platform to really, you know, to separate us. You know, thank God for things like Zoom. This is so important that we meet at Zoom and we connect with each other. I mean, because the devil is at work and we need to fight and we need to resist what the devil's at, because all these things, these spiritual battles are coming into play, and the only way we can do it is not by ourselves. It's to stand together, to come together with things like Zoom, whatever way you can connect with people, you know, inside guidance, is to do that as much as possible. But I think one thing, and I'm speaking for myself, I don't know about you, but especially over last year, I felt like God said to me, you've gone into a spiritual coma, and it's just become, he's really nullified my spiritual walk, as you know, and he wants to wake us up, basically. He wants to wake us up. He wants to wake me up. And he said that this year, Sam, you need to wake up, mate. You need to wake up spiritually. Because we watched a film the other night called The Awakenings. I don't know if you've ever watched it. You should watch it. It is brilliant. People with this disease, this condition, and they're basically, like, they fall asleep, completely paralyzed. But they're given this medication, and they all start waking up, and it was profound. It's a true story. And actually, the ending's quite sad, but God wants to wake us up. God wants to wake us up. And so resolution comes from the Latin word, that's pronounced resolver, which means loosen or release. And so if we make a resolution this year, a bit like decluttering, what does God want to loosen? And I just don't mean like a notch on our belts, because of Christmas was a bit harsh to us. What does God want to loosen from us? Or what does he want to, what do you need to release? What do you need to let go of? What do you need to loosen in your life that you've got a tight grip of? What do you need to declutter? What's going to be different this year than in previous years? And some of that new wine is quite simple. I've jumped the page on my notes. God said, to receive new wine, you need new mindsets. And it does talk about the Bible, doesn't it? Being transformed by the renewing of our minds and setting our minds on things above. And that's essentially what it is. The Reverend Wayne Manning, I don't even know who he is, I didn't look him up, but I did read his article and it was great. Reverend Wayne Manning, he says, you can't put new ideas into old mindsets. And you can't get new results with old behaviours. You can't put new ideas into old mindsets. You've been like that in work, you know, you're trying to bring some new ideas. You've got those people who've been there for years, and this isn't how we do things. This isn't the way we normally do things, you know, and we can't take these new ideas. You still have it when I covered an exercise class for somebody else, and they're like, no, that's not how we do the warm-ups. That's not how we normally do these things. This is different. Don't like different. And it's true. You can't get new results with old behaviours. And that's like reminds me of Einstein's definition of insanity, doesn't it? Trying to get different results, doing the same thing over and over and again and hoping for some different results. And the lovely Reverend Manning talks about the three R's. I'm not going to talk about the three R's. I'm just going to talk about the first R. And the three R's are repent, replace, and relax. It's cool, right? But I'm not robbing all of this. I'm going to put some of my own sermon in there. So I want to talk about repent. I think Mike mentioned repent. Was it last week, Mike? You mentioned something in your PowerPoint star. Was it in the star thing? It's like repent. I was listening. And so repent. So this year is a good time to repent. What does repent mean? So I've done a bit of Latin. Let's do a bit of Greek because, you know, I'm such a theologian. The underlying Greek word is a form of metanoia. Metanoia. I knew you all knew that, but I didn't. Which means to undergo a fundamental change in one's mind or character. So repent comes from the word metanoia, which fundamentally means undergo a fundamental change in one's mind or character. So when we are repenting of something, we are wanting to change our mind, fundamentally change our character, which leads me to ask the question, can I grow and mature as a Christian? Can I grow and mature without repentance? You see, the enemy wants to speak lies. He's the father of lies, doesn't he? And the thing about him, he wants to deceive us. And if we believe his lies, we are deceived. And the thing about being deceived is you don't actually know you're being deceived, yeah. You know, you veiled. You think if you've heard something, you believe it, and you don't know it's untrue, and someone brings us until you hear the truth and the light's turned on. So while you've listened to lies and you're walking in deception, you're living in ignorance. And that's sometimes your fault. Sometimes you just need to hear the truth, but you are living in ignorance. And if that's the case, then you'll remain the same. So if you listen to lies, that might be lies about yourself, that you can't believe that's true, and you live in that lies, then you're living in ignorance and you will just remain the same. But God wants to bring complete paradigm shifts in our thinking. He wants to bring new wine, new mindsets, new truths, not new truths, the truths, about yourself, about him, about your beliefs. And one of those mind shifts he wants to change is negative mindsets in us, a negative mindset. In Galatians 5, let's whiz over to Galatians 5. It always disappears when I try and find it fast. Galatians 5, 22. You don't have to turn to it. I'm going to whiz it out. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. I have this picture of Jesus standing with new wine, like it was one of those big old containers that you see. It's got a very poor description. And want to pour it out. I don't know what they're called now, excuse me. I want to pour it out. He's got this new wine, he wants to pour it out, but he's got nowhere to pour it. He wants vessels that he can fill. And we can only receive it when we're new wineskins. This is new ways of thinking, new ways of speaking about people, about ourselves. You know, this mouth can be used, it talks about the tongue, doesn't it? How much it can be used. It can create wars, it can bring people down, but it can bless. And it can bring love, and it can bring joy, and it can sing praises to God. Do we sing praises to God under the same mouth, curse other people? You know, we need new ways of speaking, new ways of behaving. You know, do I act one way when I'm outside, when I'm at work, or do I act another way when I'm with you lovely Christian people? I hope not. Probably do. So I need new ways of behaving. And sometimes new ways of believing. Sometimes these things we believe is just not true. And like I said, like believe about ourselves, believe about others. Are we going to start believing the best in people or always believing the worst, that person has got my worst at heart? Or am I going to believe that person has a good heart and they might be a bit mixed up, they might have some things wrong, but really they've got a good heart and they mean well. And am I going to be graceful and forgiving? And God wants to bring new wine into our hearts, our thinking, our ways and behaviours. Okay, and then I'm nearly done, but there's a couple more points that God wants me to... I don't know how long they've been, probably very long as usual, but hopefully it's not waffle. The other thing to put into practice this year might be fasting, to be a vessel of new wine, is to be a big bunch of thankers. You heard me. thankers. Be a big bunch of thankers. I have to make sure I said that right. And I've said it like that as a little play on words to make you remember. Okay. Bunch of thankers. She was laughing at that one. I got it. She would laugh at that, wouldn't she? It's terrible. So I want you to do something with me just for a second. If you're feeling like it's hard to be thankful, I want you to put your hand on your heart. When you do it, we've all got one. I can see you doing it or not. I cannot see you. You haven't got your cameras off. Put your hand on your heart. Can you feel it beating? Thank you, God. Thank you for the gift of life that you've given me, that my heart is beating. I'm not doing that. I'm not making that beat by myself. You know, I might say the electrical impulses coming from my brain to make my heart beat. It's just doing it. Take a deep breath. Fill your lungs. Thank you, God, for the breath that you've put in me, that I can breathe and my heart is beating and you've given me the gift of life. Thank you, God, because of that beating heart and that breath, that I can speak. Thank you, God, that I can speak words of blessing to you. Thank you, God, that I can speak words of blessing to others. You have given me the gift to be able to bless other people. Thank you, God, for that gift of being able to bless other people. And as you start to thank, right, I know it says this in the Bible, and it's so obvious. It's like teaching you to suck eggs, you know. It's so obvious we miss it. Is to just, as you start to thank God and it starts to pour out of your heart, your spirit is lifted. You enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. And you come into God's presence. And then I can start thanking. And instead of saying, woe is me, or that person's upset me, thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God. And honestly, you need to all become, we all need to become a big bunch of thankers. That was the other point. So I don't know if you've got time now because I've taken up loads of time. Are we planning on breaking into groups or not, Mike?
We can do that. But I've also got an idea for next week in my head as well.
But whether you do it, we do it in the groups now, or when Mike closes the meeting and it's like your host has ended this meeting. Don't switch off and just go back to the way you were previous to the meeting. Yeah, schedule in some time where you're going to ask God, God, I want to be a new wineskin and I want to receive what you've got for me. Mm-hmm. What do I need to repent of? What have I been deceived of? What have I allowed in my life that I need to get rid of? And have a think about this 2020. What do you want to achieve? And ask God, what does he want? A lot of time we do that, but what does God want you to do? Have you asked lately, what does God want you to do? Is what you're doing what he wants you to do? Do you need to put some stuff down and pick up something new? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Have you asked God about your life in 2021? Because you might look at 2021 and look at the news and you'd soon lose a bit of hope. But is God hopeless? Is God looking at 2021 thinking, oh, there's no hope for 2021 and the church? He's not. So get in line with God's thinking and ask God, what about my life in 2021? How do you want to use me? What resolutions are you going to make with Jesus? And spend some time doing that, whether that's the end of the service, straight after, this week, tonight. Have you decided that's what you're going to do? Or is it just something you'd like to do this year?
Mm-hmm.